of the American labor movement.
Welcome to the Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Peace, y'all. This is Rod Stars.
This is G1. Together, we Rebel Diaz.
And when we out here in D.C., the DMV, we bump WPFW.
Washington.
Every Tuesday, 9 to 10 a.m., Voices with Vision. You heard?
Understand. We've been trying to move this struggle from a lower to a higher level.
This is Voices with Vision, bringing you news and analysis.
It's about cutting-edge social justice issues by mixing various voices and ideas
with information, cultural expressions, and commentary.
Voices with Vision airs every Tuesday on your Jazz and Justice station, WPFW.
Good morning and welcome to Voices with Vision. This is the June 17th, 2025 edition of the show, Not for the Politically Faint of Heart, where you hear information and analysis from a radical left perspective, and you hear voices of people on the front line of the struggle, telling it like it is. I'm Nefer Freeman, one of your co-hosts, producers, in the virtual studio with your other co-host, producer, Brother Craig. What's the news, Brother Craig?
Hey, good morning, Nefer, and of course, the same to all of our listeners and podcast subscribers. We're going to get into some of what is in the news, but I just have to say the enemies of the people continue to carry out their crimes against humanity, and the masses of people around the world continue to wake up and rise up no matter where they find themselves.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on, but today we're going to focus on the Zionist entity's latest unprovoked attack on yet another country and population of people outside of its illegal settler colonial borders that has severe implications for everyone. To help us take a closer look at these implications and what's going on will be Ajamu Baraka of the Black Alliance for Peace and the North-South Project for People-Centered Human Rights.
Brother Ajamu has been on the show many times before and probably doesn't need much of an introduction to our listeners. We also hope to be able to open up the phone lines, time permitting, for your own comments as listeners and as Voices with Vision about the attacks on Iran or other aspects of our struggle that are on your mind.
We're going to kick off the show with a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal about chaos in California for all U.S.-held political prisoners and Israeli-held Palestinian political prisoners languishing behind prison walls. What's the call?
Free them all.
Chaos in California. Look at what you see in California. What is unmistakable is the aura of chaos. And I speak not here about the demonstrators. They are, in large part, reacting to government intrusion into their lives. The kidnapping of children, of old ladies, of gardeners, of really poor working people trying to build a life in the richest country in the world. So where does that chaos come from? It comes from some of the richest people in the world. It comes from billionaires. It comes from Donald J. Trump. And you think only Elon Musk wants to rule the world? No. It is characteristic of billionaires to want to control everything around them, because essentially they're insecure about losing that which gives them and their lives distinction, and that's money, that's property, that's wealth. And this is wealth at war with the poor. And some of the poorest people, not just in California, but in the United States entire. And these are people who just want to find a way to feed their families, their children, and build a life in the richest empire in the world. And it's also about divide and conquer, because that, at its base, is the essence of politics. Not addition, division, destruction, divide, fear. Those are the notes and registers of this moment. And only protest, cohesion, unity, care, and love can defeat this chaos. May it be so. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
I'm not gonna lie, you see, politics is interesting now, isn't it? I swear, it's just, the world, yeah, is like a classroom in a really bad state school in the UK, right? Like, the UN is that teacher that doesn't do anything when a kid's picking on everyone, you know? Then when someone fights back, they pretend, oh, no, stop it! Fucking hell, no! No! Oi, India, Pakistan, leave it! No! Stop fucking fighting, India! Stop fighting over that sweater! Yes, I know it's Kashmir, but still, no, psych. Fuck, psych. Yeah, and like, Israel is that kid that hits other kids, but no one hits him back because he's autistic. You know, like. But he f***ed with the right one now, didn't he? Yeah.
The Middle East is on fire because Israeli and U.S. imperialism lit the match. A statement by the Black Alliance for Peace. Overnight, the Zionist entity of Israel escalated its war of aggression against Iran by launching unprovoked attacks on the Islamic Republic. The notion that a rogue ethnostate that is currently carrying out a genocide believes that it possesses the right to determine which countries can and cannot develop a nuclear weapon is both bizarre and egregious, as well as brazenly hypocritical, and further demonstrates the state of Israel operates firmly within the structures of white supremacy ideology, colonialism, and imperialism. Iran, like all sovereign nations, has the right to defend itself from aggression and uphold its security in the face of repeated threats and acts of war. This stands in stark contrast to Israel, which operates a settler colonial occupation of Palestine, as well as portions of Lebanon and Syria. The idea of Israel, the Zionist occupation, claiming a moral position is absurd. The fact that the international community continues to give Israel any credibility as a dereliction of duty and forms a vacuum of morality for all of those who do not stand resolutely against its genocide in Palestine and its attacks on Lebanon, Yemen, Syria, and Iran. Israel's immunity granted by Western colonial nations is a further reflection of the moral gulf between these states and the vast majority of humankind that subscribes to values that uphold people-centered human rights, self-determination, and dignity. Israel's unprovoked attack is another example of the lawlessness that is fully supported by the U.S. The Black Alliance for Peace rejects the notion that the U.S. was unaware of this attack. The U.S. had the ability to stop this attack if it was serious about containing Israel's perpetual war crimes and disregard for international law, which is a major threat to any form of true peace. The combination of Israel's continued genocidal assaults and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people and its bombings and occupations of portions of sovereign nations of Syria and Lebanon prove that Israel and the U.S. are the most dangerous nations in the world. Their power must be dismantled. To conflate Israel's actions with Jewish values is the height of anti-Semitism. Zionism, an ideology of white supremacy, must be wholly separated from Judaism's teachings of justice, human rights, and inclusivity. Israel is no more a Jewish state than the U.S. is a Christian state, but both are violent constructs of ethno-nationalism. The Black Alliance for Peace firmly rejects the conflation of Judaism with the barbarism of Zionism, just as we denounce the anti-Semitic trope that equates Zionism with Judaism itself. Israel's militarism further threatens global stability by spiking the price of oil by 8% in one night. This economic shockwave further demonstrates why we must continue linking the devastation of war with the devastation associated with the climate catastrophe that is fueled by capitalist war profiteering interests of fossil fuel cartels and the military-industrial complex, who both benefit from the Israeli war machine at the expense of human life and the ecosystem necessary to sustain it. Israel's aggression is capitalism's credit card with an unlimited spending limit. History will remember this moment and Israel's barbaric acts as an indelible and ignominious strain on international law and cooperation, people-centered human rights, and the basic tenets of human dignity. In response, the Black Alliance for Peace demands 1. The UN Security Council and European Union impose immediate sanctions and consequences for Israel's illegal acts and institute an arms embargo. 2. The international community must expel Israel from the United Nations. It has no place among fraternal nations. 3. The international community categorically rejects Israel's fraudulent claims to jurisdiction over Iran's lawful nuclear energy program. 4. The IAEA investigate Israel's unregulated nuclear program with the same rigor applied to others. 5. The U.S. lawmakers enforce laws prohibiting military aid to human rights violators by cutting off all arms transfers to Israel or face prosecution at the ICC and the ICJ for complicity in war crimes. 6. The ICC indict and prosecute Israeli and U.S. officials for continued war crimes throughout West Asia and the lawlessness of genocide perpetuated against Palestinian people. And 7. All anti-imperialist, anti-war, pro-peace movements and organizations support Iran's right to sovereignty, self-defense, and self-determination against Israel's murderous aggression. No compromise, no retreat. The Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee. Brother Craig and Brother Netfa Freeman here, yours truly, here on WPFW 89.3, giving you another Not For the Politically Faint of Heart interview. You're hearing a lot about the strike that, war being waged between the settler state of Israel and Iran. On June 13th, Israel launched an unprovoked attack on targets at more than a dozen locations across Iran under the code name Operation Rising Lion. Since then, things have been escalating quite a bit. And to give us some perspective on this, because you just heard a reading of the Black Alliance for Peace statement, the Middle East is on fire because Israeli and U.S. imperialism lit the match. We're going to go into this a little deeper with Brother Ajamu Baraka, who is on the coordinating committee of the Black Lives for Peace and is also the director of the North-South Project for People-Centered Human Rights. Brother Ajamu, welcome back to Voices with Vision.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, always. So look, I think we want to open up with this question in your assessment. What should the Global South make of this initial strike by Israel against Iran?
Yeah, I think that the Global South, what they're making from this is that this is another example of the kind of aggression that we've come to understand as part of how the U.S. and the Global North operates. That we have now another war in the so-called Middle East, or what we refer to as West Asia, as a consequence of this unprovoked and illegal assault by the Israeli fascist state against Iran. And of course, the Israelis will have framed this as some type of self-defensive move, but we remind people that this attack on Iran was right in the middle of a process that was supposed to be a diplomatic process that could very easily led to some type of agreement that would have avoided a military conflict. But of course, we find out that this negotiation process between the U.S. and Iran was basically just a sort of a rope-a-dope, if you will. They disarmed the Iranians. They led the Iranians into believing that this was a serious diplomatic effort in order for them to loosen their defenses and to be subject to the kind of sneak attack that Israel waged a couple of days ago. And they devastated Iran. They killed a number of their military commanders. They murdered more scientists who were involved in their civilian nuclear energy project. And we know the rest. So this is another example. People around the world understand. They're absolutely clear on what's happening. Another example of how the U.S. And Israel, how they operate. They operate outside and beyond the law. In other words, they are two outlaw states. And here we're now facing another dangerous conflict in West Asia.
Yeah, Brother Ajamu, I wanted to ask you, there seems to be some kind of attempt by the Trump administration to say that the U.S. is not involved in Israel's attack against Iran, while at the same time, the United States is funding Israel, it's providing weapons, it has like a Siamese twin-like relationship between its intelligence forces, and it's now, I think, even sending ships to the region. What would you say is the real level of U.S. involvement and responsibility in these attacks, and what are the prospects for more direct U.S. action in support of Israel in this situation?
Well, look, no one takes it serious that the U.S. was unaware of what was unfolding with this this attack. And as you said, no one was surprised because, as you said, every bullet, every bomb, every plane, every missile that was used by Israel was supplied to Israel by the United States of America. So this notion that they didn't know, they weren't involved, is all nonsense. We know that they received U.S. intelligence, targeting information, and that they are actually in place and prepared to shoot down Iranian missiles when Iran responded some hours later to the attack. So the involvement was, in fact, total. What's going to happen next? Well, Trump has allowed himself to be set up. I think that he believed that because he's a white supremacist, that if he allowed the Israelis to strike Iran, that would then compel them to, in essence, surrender to the U.S. Not understanding that what was being set up was for a situation to be created in which the Iranians would retaliate and strike massively as they have done and create the conditions for Netanyahu and his allies to begin to beg the U.S. to get more deeply involved in the conflict. Everybody knows that they are not going to be able to defeat Iran by themselves. And so either Trump will allow the Israelis to sort of dangle out there by themselves, take the kind of body blows we've seen them take over the last few days, or they're going to get more deeply involved. We believe that they're going to get more deeply involved because to allow the Israelis to dangle out there and to take hits from the Iranians could not only threaten Trump's presidency, but in fact could threaten Trump himself, because he's dealing with some very dangerous forces there in the U.S. state that are fully committed to Israel. And any president or anyone else that appears not to be providing the kind of support that these neocons and neoliberal warmongers believe Israel should receive can find themselves in very dangerous territory.
Yeah. You know, that kind of leads me to my next question. That is, you know, about this U.S. Israeli relationship. And we've seen in the past where Israel has wanted to be kind of aggressive and belligerent when it has come to like peace talks or expanding settlements or like even attacking Iran now at a time or in a way that was against the publicly expressed wishes of U.S. presidents and actors in the past. So it seems that, you know, there's a question of, you know, who is controlling who, you know, in this relationship. Can you talk a little bit more about, like, how is it that the United States government and these politicians are seem to be beholden to Israel? And what are the prospects that this relationship could ever become, you know, severed?
Well, you know, it's quite clear that the Israeli lobby has tremendous power within the U.S., a tremendous influence. It's very difficult for these politicians to oppose that lobby. But it's also important for people to understand that it's not like they are forcing these politicians to do things they wouldn't otherwise do or support. There's a convergence of interests, a convergence of a worldview that they both share, they all share. The fact of the matter is that that convergence has a material base. And the centerpiece of that material interest is really the interest of the U.S. And Israel plays a very important role as a partner, if you will, or a attack dog, if you will, of the U.S. So it's ultimately, in my opinion, it is the U.S. that really calls the shots. And Israel has played a role in playing the role as the attack dog. So this the idea that it's only the lobby and that the U.S. is really controlled by this lobby, you know, is quaint and is interesting, but I don't think it really reflects the real power dynamics in this situation. Even though we've seen that even a president is not, you know, immune to the influence of this lobby. I make the argument, I think we made it on this show already before, that you can't understand the coup that was pulled off by the Democrats against Joe Biden unless you bring in the factor of that many of those members of that lobby didn't believe that Joe Biden was aggressive enough in providing support to Israel during its war in Gaza. So this is a powerful lobby, but again, it's reflective of the convergence of interest among the ruling element in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. John, you said, I saw in one of your social media posts that it's going to take more than the courageous fight back from Iran to end this. So what will it take? What is the path to peace in this instance, but just in general?
I think the immediate objectives that we have to as a people, as a global population, exhausted, tired of these endless conflicts, the immediate objective is to put counter pressure on the Trump administration to get more involved in this conflict. This has to be seen as an anti-war effort, anti-imperialist effort, and that pressure needs to be put on the representatives in Congress and to put pressure in the corporate media to demonstrate that there's not going to be public support for another endless war, and definitely support for the possibility of U.S. lives being lost in the service of Zionism. People have to understand that while the U.S. can engage in, and Israel can engage in aerial bombardment, that you're not going to defeat the Iranian government unless you put boots on the ground. You're not going to be able to exercise so-called regime change. And that means the insertion of troops on the ground. It would be an abomination to have young Africans and young working class people on the ground committing war crimes in the service of this backward, racist, apartheid, Zionist entity called Israel.
You know, you just made me think of this, and I guess it's into the next question. The state of internationalism and internationalist purview among African people in the United States, it's always been a challenge. And I think it seems that there's also a psyops, if you will, that's really trying to undermine that internationalism that's always been a part of the radical Black tradition and making us see ourselves, you know, as having some interests with this political, economic, or whatever that are bounded with the interests of this U.S. settler state. And so, you know, it just brings to mind that how difficult that would be. I don't know. Do you see if it came to the point of putting boots on the ground, and particularly African people or Black people on the ground, would that encourage or make us see things a little differently? I mean, you know, I think that we need to go really deep. I mean, we really need to defeat this Americanism, this notion that we are Americans. That's what I think. But it doesn't even have to go that deep. We just need to be able to realize we don't hold the same kind of interest, and this is detrimental to us to be participating and serving as cannon fodder for these.
Exactly. The revival of that kind of consciousness, the understanding that we as a national entity, a people, a colonized people, that we have interests that are contrary to the interests of the settler colonial project, the settler colonial state, that instead of identifying with the oppressors, we identify with the oppressed. We identify with those other oppressed people who have been colonized and who are struggling for national liberation. So that kind of consciousness is a centerpiece of the kind of politics that we're trying to develop and need to develop in this country and really globally. But we're up against a very powerful force that has been successful in, quote unquote, Americanizing the African in the United States of America. And we have talked about this on numerous occasions on this show, the forces involved in that and the consequences, the role of a Barack Obama and helping to consolidate that kind of backward consciousness. And so, you know, we have to deal with those objective realities. But, you know, for us to allow our young people to die in the service of Zionism is as backward as having our young people die in the service of the apartheid regime in South Africa. Both represent white power. Both represent white supremacy. And it would be absurd for us to allow that to happen. So, yes, that's the terms of struggle we have to engage in. And we have to engage in that struggle with confidence and boldness, and not be concerned about the consequences, because the objective is to win our people back to sanity and for us to survive this period, this consolidating neo-fascism in the U.S. And globally, with the U.S. and Israel at the center of this global fascist process.
Mm-hmm. You know, backing up, I know at the beginning you talked about how Iran was duped by the United States. Can you talk a little bit more and describe like the hypocrisy and the machinations around this, the politics of who's allowed to have nuclear power and or weapons and who is not?
You know, I'm glad that you raised that question. I mean, it is absolutely absurd that we're supposed to believe that the world is a safer place with these maniacs who are in charge, who are in power in Israel, possessing nuclear weapons, as opposed to Iran, that is supposed to represent some type of existential threat to humanity if they had a nuclear weapon. And the very fact that this is being articulated in that way by a government, Israel, that's headed up by a indicted war criminal, engaged in a ongoing genocide, is absolutely bizarre. Bizarre that this individual in that state still receives any kind of credibility, any kind of legalization. So this is absurd that this argument is being made. It's absurd that the United States believes it has some kind of right and responsibility to determine how a government uses its nuclear energy. It is criminal because it's quite clear that even U.S. intelligence agencies, all 18 of them, as reported out by the director of the National Intelligence of the United States of America in March, that indicated that there's no evidence that Iran was moving toward any kind of nuclear weaponization process. You know, so this is the kind of absurdity we have to deal with when you have a double standard. You know, one standard for Western Europe and another standard for everybody else, just like you have two standards of humanity, that Netanyahu can talk about the targeting of civilians in Israel while they systematically murder people every day, slaughter people every day who are lined up trying to get food as a consequence of this insane siege that was imposed on the Gaza Strip by these Israeli maniacs. So these are the kinds of contradictions we have to deal with and deal with and expose without any kind of hesitation. Because if not, then we'll find ourselves and other people supporting or giving their support to this kind of madness.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is why the Black Lives for Peace and all of us, all the rest of the revolutionary forces try to keep the information going and keep it up, because it seems like, you know, people have such, sometimes, how about you call it, short memories or what? Because it wasn't like you mentioned the indicted, you know, Netanyahu being indicted, the International Court of Justice, and then and all of this about around the genocide and everything. It's like it just the impotency of that ruling and how it has not resulted in anything. I think this adds on to that and should be compelling people to step up or take some other type of courses of action in terms of this existential threat to humanity.
Exactly, and that's why that statement that was put out by the Black Lives for Peace is so important, where we talk about help people to understand what is really happening in West Asia, and the fact that this was a human-made tragedy, and that the only way that we're going to be able to reverse these kinds of activities is through our own efforts and the efforts of others who are fed up and tired with these endless wars, and who believe that if we're going to survive on this planet, we've got to undermine, we've got to shift power away from these maniacs in the West, and specifically the United States of America and its attack dog located there in Fort Israel.
Mm. But before we let you go, one last real brief question. Can you give us at least the elevator pitch on what the North-South Project for People-Centered Human Rights is?
The North-South Project is a people-centered human rights project. It centers the radical perspective on human rights, which means it centers the objective needs of the people. It is a human rights ideal that is disconnected from the liberal notion of human rights that are individual human rights, primarily concerned with civil and political rights. The radical understanding of human rights is comprehensive. It centers the objective material needs of the people for housing and education and healthcare, a clean environment, a real social security, et cetera, et cetera. And it says that human rights don't emanate just from international treaties among states, or they emanate from the people. They're created by the people coming out of struggle. So it's clear that those people who've been articulating human rights since 1945 from the West, that they are politically and morally bankrupt, and that we can no longer use that framework in a serious way. But the idea of human rights still is important. We just have to decolonize that idea, that framework. And that's exactly what this project is intending to do, to decolonize that, but also to build the structures where we can not beg for human rights, but fight for our human rights, which means fighting against the oppressive systems and structures that continue the exploitation and oppression of global humanity. People can get more information on this project at peoplecenteredhumanrights.com.
Thank you. We were speaking with Ajamu Baraka on the coordinating committee of the Black Alliance for Peace and also the director of the North-South Project for People-Centered Human Rights. Thank you, brother, for being with us on Voices with Vision.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And you, my man, what do you do?
I'm an investigator.
You're an investigator? What kind? Like for the police?
Like war crimes investigator.
You're a war crimes... is that true? Is that true? Oh my God. Jeez, we really went up a notch, didn't we? What are you working on at the moment? What's your...
Ukraine.
Ukraine. You're working on investigating war crimes in Ukraine. Uh-huh. Me, man. I thought when you said infrastructure, it was like going to kill the energy, but... And are you from the UK?
No.
No, where are you from?
From Israel.
You're from Israel? Great! Oh my God! Jesus Christ! Of all the places you could have said, you're a war crimes investigator from Israel looking at Ukraine. I think the call may be coming from inside the house.
Well, let's hold it right there to find out what's happening in the social justice calendar. We'll be right back.
Is your social justice calendar for the week of June 16th, 2025. On Tuesday evening, June 17th, the esteemed and beloved historian C.R. Gibbs will lead a discussion on Emancipation USA, how freedom came to the DMV and Texas. Mr. Gibbs's lecture will take place at the Woodridge Neighborhood Library in D.C., 1801 Hamlin Street, Northeast, 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, June 19th, Juneteenth, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Fort Slocum Park, 5800 Kansas Avenue, Northwest D.C., the National Park Service and Rock Creek Conservancy hosts Summer in the Park with fun for all, including music by DJ Lance Reynolds. For more, check out rockcreekconservancy.org. On Thursday, June 19th at 5 p.m., there will be a Speak the Dream Juneteenth Poetry Slam, hosted by Black Chakra at the Anacostia location, Bus Boys and Poets on Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast DC. For more info and to RSVP, visit busboysandpoets.com. Sunday, June 22nd from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Sankofa, mark your calendars for the third annual Baldwin House Juneteenth celebration on 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. For more info and to RSVP, visit Sankofa.com. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m., at least 1 week in advance of your event. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
You're listening to Voices with Vision, the show that's not for the politically faint of heart on your Jazz and Justice station. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
All right, now, We are opening the phone lines, as we promised in the top of the show. The number to call in and make your comment of all that you just heard. There's a lot of food for thought in there, a lot of food for thought. And even you can even talk, think about what we just aired and also what broadcast on Democracy Now! Just before us. The number to call is 202-588-0893. We have, when the time remaining, we want to give people a chance to weigh in, give the listeners and the public and the community a chance to speak your mind. This is part of, this is how also democracy works. It's the free flow of information. It's the participatory democracy also means that we are with what they call it, informed consent, that we have informed consent. We're able to critically turn over, analyze, and debate and struggle over over concepts, over issues, over topics, over policy. And that's what we want to do on the remaining show. Brother Craig always looking so serious. Brother Craig is a serious brother, y'all. And he, you know, even when he makes a joke, he sounds he's serious. But go ahead, Brother Craig. I can't hear you. But the number to call is 202-588-0893. And we do have one caller on the line already. And so we want to get you right in there, right out the gate. Thank you for calling Voices with Vision. Hello, caller, you there?
Okay, brother. This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
How you doing, Rick?
You can hear me okay, bro?
Yes, we can hear you.
I just want to say that I personally believe you've only got 35 years left on this planet before the planet wages its own apocalypse because of what we've done to the atmosphere, the land, and the water. Whites and Jews as an influence and power are going to fight to the last for their survival on this planet. And I think it might behoove black folks with a passport to consider dual citizenship somewhere in Africa. I'm done, fellas.
Thank you. Thank you for that question or comment. That comment, you know, I don't disagree with that, but I also know that given what you just said, we can't run from this one. It ain't no place to go. So we got the wage of struggle. That part I agree with. Next caller, thank you for calling Voices with Vision. And the number to call, again, if you didn't miss it, is 202-588-0893. Next caller, thank you for calling Voices with Vision.
Good morning. I'm just calling to, because your broadcast reminded me of what Malcolm X taught us, that the U.S. military does abroad what the police do domestically, which is to maintain and prop up a system of colonialism and neocolonialism, right? And imperialism. Mm-hmm. What's going on right now doesn't really surprise me because Israel itself is simply an extension of the United States military in West Asia. So, the billions that goes there those are military expenditures. That's not aid. It's military expenditures. They're a military outpost of the U.S. So That's unfortunate.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. The number to call is that brother just dropped a Malcolm X quote. So it's like, you know, Malcolm always does it. And so the number to call is 202-588-0893. We want to get your questions or your comments about what you just heard in the last 40 minutes. I can't tell if we have another caller or not. Do we have another caller? We want to talk about also, because we can unpack this too. This Sunday, there's going to be ample opportunity, not just to engage with Voices with Vision. The programmers, myself and Brother Craig, will be out there this Sunday at WPFW's festival, Jazz and Justice Festival at Malcolm X Park this Sunday, June 22nd, from noon to nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, noon to 9 p.m. And we, if while we're waiting for more people to call, the number 202-588-0893, we can go in a little deep on the, oh, we do have one more caller, to go a little deep on this festival a little bit with our dear program director, Katia Stick. Katia, can you, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey,
Mike.
Katia.
Mike.
And yeah,
I am here. I am here. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I always tell other people to say, don't say, can you hear me? And here we are saying, can you hear me? Anyway, good morning, gentlemen. I thank you for the opportunity. Yes, we have a very exciting day on June 22nd. I just want to make one correction. We will be going in the park in terms of activity until 8 p.m. We will be in the park cleaning up until 9. And if there are volunteers out there that want to help us, mm-hmm. that's great. But we have an incredible lineup, not only on the stage, but all around the park. And so I just want to highlight a few things that I think would be of interest to the Voices with Vision audience. We have you, of course, Brother Netfa. So the structure of the festival is we have a main stage and we have some amazing artists, starting with our own Dr. Saiz Kamaladeen and Dr. Larry Brown from Howard University. Both teach at Howard University. They have a MIN world music duo. It'll be harmonica and some other instruments and guitar and some other instruments. And then we have Lena Saikali, who is Palestinian-Lebanese vocalist. She's a jazz vocalist, well-known in this area. Her mother actually is Zaina Azam, who is a Palestinian poet, and she was poet laureate of Alexandria, I believe. And Zaina might join us. We're hoping so. We are blessed to have our own Lady Murr doing a blues set, Lady Murr and Friends. We have Paul Bailey Quartet. Paul Bailey is an up-and-coming young trumpeter. We have Luke Stewart in a duo sitting that he calls Black's Miss. And Luke. It's going to be an incredible group. It's electronics. It's a duo, but it's electronics. It's bass. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. We have our dear brother Kaba. And if you know Kaba, you know he's not only a radio personality, not for the politically faint of heart, but also a vocalist, an incredible vocalist. He sings with many people. He did the Gil Scott-Heron Project, and he sings now with often with the Earth, Wind & Fire Tribute Band, but he's bringing his own. It'll be a quintet, and so it'll be mm-hmm. Kaba Soul Singer. We can't wait for that. And our own, we have the MC Substantial, who works with our own DJ RBI, so he'll be gracing the stage with RBI. We have Proverbs Reggae Band, which is, for many people, they know Culture Shack, DJ Z Lion, and Kim Bay. Well, Zaya is the founder and leader of Proverbs Reggae Band, and again, well-known, beloved in this area. And finally, we are closing out with Soul Searchers. We're closing out with the Soul Searchers in terms of the stage. We have some incredible poets, among them Brian Gilmore, Kenny Carroll. We have a surprise that I can't mention yet, maybe doing something with Luke. So we're very excited about that. But we also have all of these activations. So there's not only the main stage, but we have a Liberatory Justice Pavilion where there'll be teach-ins and there'll be tabling and information. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talk about now's the time to get involved. We have an array of folks from, of course, PACA to Black Alliance for Peace. We have Code Pink. We have Palestinian Youth Movement. So many others. Oh, we have Nkechi Taifa talking about reparations in that tent. We also have a wellness pavilion where Dr. Watkins will be giving a talk. We'll have Nana Malaya doing movement. We'll have the Art of Living crew led by Mama Paulette doing meditation and yoga. and many other things that black farmers are hopefully coming out. We have them joining us talking about healthy eating and farming, urban farming even. We have our children's pavilion. Uncle Devin will be doing a set for the children. And of course, Uncle Devin was on our air for many years. But there'll also be face painting. There'll be hula hoops. There'll be jump ropes. We will have, again, guided meditations for the little people as well. And we have painting for them. We have a labor and union pavilion, Joni Eisenberg and Elise Bryant working on that. And we have an elders circle, which is wonderful. We have a bunch of elders who have seen Malcolm X Park and DC change, who were instrumental in the founding of PFW and many other movements and organizations here. So they'll be telling their stories. Jordan Strudwick is curating a film activation. There'll be short docs shown throughout the day. We have Milani Douglas, and you told me, I think, the great-granddaughter of Frederick Douglass, doing something called a community. That's at 3 p.m. There will be only one. And we have Art of Noise Gallery doing a gallery exhibition. Yeah, of a young man. I'm sorry. I'm trying to run down everything. You trying to talk. Go ahead, yeah. Netflix. So we got a lot for you. That's the point.
We have a couple more callers. Sure. Just stay on.
Sure, I'm here.
One of the callers might have
a question for you. Yeah.
But we do want to give the call, cause so we have at least two callers, Mike. So next, and so let's go to the next caller, and if you stay on, they might, you know, who knows what they have to share with us. Next caller, thank you for calling Voices with Vision, and then also the number to call is 202-588-0893.
I'm assuming that I'm next. Am I next?
Yes, you're next.
Okay, all
thank
right.
you.
I would like to. First of all, I'd like to remind everybody that it's important that we not think of Israel as a Jewish state. It is not a Jewish state, and it's not fair to the Jewish people, the true Jewish people of that religion, to be linked with them. It is a Zionist state. It's a fascist state, but it's not a Jewish state. The other thing is the connection between the United States and Israel is so strong because Israel is, in a large extent, a creation of the United States. It was necessary for them to have a foothold in the Middle East because of the oil that they needed to get access to. And they used Israel, the creation of Israel, to gain them that footage by putting the people who were refugees from the Nazi war into that place and then giving them the arms and things that they needed in order to fight the people after they took the people's homes away. In order for them to fight against those people trying to retrieve their own property and their land. And they made it possible for them to be able to control whatever happens there. And they still do control whatever happens there to a large extent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So I want to get in as many calls. Thank you. That was a very important call there. We have one more caller. And if anybody wants to get in this last couple minutes, 202-588-0893. Next caller, try to keep it brief because we want to ask Katia one more question.
For the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm
Go ahead.
Get on Roach Brown's show.
Oh, you're waiting for Rose Brown's show? Oh, okay. Just that's not on yet. So that comes on after this one. So we still got one. The next caller. Thank you for calling Voices with Vision. Got a question or comment?
I'm assuming that's me.
Hello? Yes, that's you.
Hi. How are y'all doing today? I live in the New York City area, so I just kind of wanted to bring something up. In that BAP statement, there's a mention about not conflating Israel's actions and Jewish values. And that's something that we see here a lot, that conflation in New York City a lot, to the extent that the criticism of Zionism is absolutely a criticism of Judaism, apparently, is treated that way, right? So we have a person running for mayor who is straddling both sides of the fence here. Like, he says, you know, free Palestine, but then also affirms the right for a Jewish state, like a Zionist state. And it's really interesting that it's in New York City, where New York City has an office in Tel Aviv, right? Every single mayor we've had has been Zionist for I don't even know how long. and
I think that's a prerequisite for the job, for any job.
For the job
in the U.S.
And, you know, in U.S. and NYC has an office in Tel Aviv. They get the equipment, they train, all these other things. If it's so, want someone to be proclaimed leftist, a proclaimed progressive, and support the entity that does that to African Black people in New York, who also claims an African identity, also, by the way, it is really a growing contradiction that I want more people to raise. And I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you so much. I want to, Katia, can you, I know we have in the remaining minute, the how people, we're asking people to register for this, the festival.
Absolutely. They can, well, they can go to our website and there's an Eventbrite link there, or they can go to Eventbrite. And if they search WPFW or Jazz and Justice Festival, they compliance, but anyone can come. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Anyone can come. It's open.
Well, I hope to see everybody there. We will sign off. We want to thank all of our callers for weighing in and listening to the show today. And remember, if you're not fighting for the liberation of your people, fall back.
Your people fall back if you ain't trying to die for your people. F-A-L-L-B-A-C-K. Fall back if you ain't trying to ride for your freedom. Fall back if you ain't trying to die for your freedom.
I'm Robin Holden.
And this is Miyuki Williams.
The Jazz and Justice Festival happens Sunday, June 22nd, from noon until 8 p.m.
Presented by WPFW in collaboration with Washington Parks and People, the event is an activation of music, poetry, social justice teachings, elder circle, visual arts, wellness, children's activities, and more. It takes place in Malcolm X Park and the Josephine Butler Center, located at 16th and Euclid Streets Northwest.
Performers in the park include Saiz Kamaladeen, Kaba Soul Singer, The Silked Trio, Lady Murr, and the Proverbs Reggae Band.
There will be musical sets by DJs Abby, Lance Reynolds, Rita Burns, Willard, and Underdog.
In the Josephine Butler Center, there'll be short documentary screenings curated by Jordan Strudwick, an art exhibition created by Adrian Ferguson of the Art of Noise Gallery, and a community tea presented by Milani Douglas.
The Jazz and Justice Festival, an afternoon of joy as resistance, Sunday, June 22nd, noon until 8 p.m. Details at WPFWFM.org.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Peace, family. On Sunday, June 22nd, at WPFW's Jazz and Justice Festival at Malcolm X Park, WPFW invites community filmmakers to join the music. During the festival, in the Josephine Butler Park Center next to Malcolm X Park, WPFW will host a community film showcase celebrating liberatory stories of resistance, resilience, and rhythm. Short works, 12 minutes or less, whether first-time experiments or seasoned productions, will be welcomed for submission at films@wpfw.org. Submissions will remain open through midnight, Wednesday, June 18th. Technical polish is secondary to vision, heart, and voice. This is an open call, and there is space for every perspective that fits under the 12-minute time limitation and reflects our community's values. Once more, the submission email address is films@wpfw.org. WPFW, making the world a better place, one broadcast at a time. Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe,